Good morning, church family. Hope everybody had a good Christmas. Did you?
Yeah.
All right, we're good. So Tim is out of town. He and Christy are out of town celebrating their wedding anniversary. God bless that woman, right? I'm just kidding. And Jordan is out of town as well, still traveling with his family for the Christmas holiday. And some of you guys know Dennis Crehan, who he and his lovely wife, Debbie, here, you know, they sit on the third row here, and Dennis is famous for his amens, but he's not here this morning, so what the heck. Anyway, Dennis is actually a retired preacher. I don't know how many of you guys knew that. I know some of you do, but Dennis got called away this morning to fill in for a preacher here in the area. So guess what? Yours truly, Lance Pippen, gets to speak and bring the message to you guys this morning, and I'm super excited to be here. I know my parents, Brenda and Freddie Pippen, are here, so just give a round of applause for my parents being here. I'd love to see them here on a Sunday morning. But to get started this morning, you know, I've already asked the question, how many of you guys had a good Christmas? But as far as myself and my family, we are ready for a new year to come. Can I get an amen? Yes. It's been a crazy year for us, health-wise. But let's get started this morning reading Revelation 12, 9 through 17. This is what it says. The great dragon was hurled down, the ancient serpent called the devil or Satan, who leads the whole world astray. He was hurled to the earth and his angels with him. Then I heard a loud voice in heaven say, "Now have come the salvation and the power and the kingdom of our God and the authority of his Messiah. For the accuser of our brothers and sisters, who accuses them before our God day and night, has been hurled down. They triumphed over him by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony. They did not love their lives so much as to shrink from death. Therefore, rejoice, you heavens, and you who dwell in them. But woe to the earth and the sea, because the devil has gone down to you. He is filled with fury, because he knows that his time is short. When the dragon saw that he had been hurled to the earth, he pursued the woman who had given birth to the male child. The woman was given the two wings of a great eagle so that she might fly to the place prepared for her in the wilderness, where she would be taken care of for a time, times and a half a time out of the serpent's reach. Then from his mouth, talking about the devil, the serpent spewed water from the river to overtake the woman and sweep her away with a torrent. But the earth helped the woman by opening its mouth and swallowing the river that the dragon has spewed out of his mouth. Then the dragon, in verse 17, was enraged, and the woman and went off to wage war against the rest of her offspring, those who keep God's commands and hold fast their testimony about Jesus. All this month, Tim has been doing a sermon series entitled "What Child Is This?" based around the song that we just sung. Speaking of Jesus' birth and the important players or people in that wonderful story, the Christmas story. So on this last week of December, let me ask the question one more time. What child is this? And let me respond with the answer, the refugee. The refugee. Now, don't be stunned by this response. This year, in 2019 alone, it's reported that 70.8 people have been forcibly displaced worldwide. So there's 70.8 million refugees in our world right now. A refugee, for those that don't know, is a person who has been forced to leave or escape their country, if you will, in order to escape war, persecution, natural disaster, violence, or in the situation that we're going to be looking at today, death. Last Sunday, back on December 22nd, which feels like it's been weeks ago, am I right? Yeah, because of Christmas, you know, did anybody travel this past week? Like, not travel long distance, maybe you did, but maybe within 50 to 100 miles or so. Anybody? All right, yeah, I did too. That's that. But last Sunday, December 22nd, Tim talks about the wise men or the magi as they're referred to in Scripture in his Watch Out Is This series. So let me back up a little to last week. You know, just talking about the magi or the wise men, they came from the east. They studied astronomy. They followed the star that the Old Testament prophets spoke about. They followed the star for maybe more than 2 years, and they brought very expensive gifts to Jesus, as Tim said last week, of myrrh, of frankincense, and of gold. And on their journey to Bethlehem to see the new king of the Jews, they stopped in Jerusalem, and they came across a guy named King Herod to ask where this new king of the Jews was to be born. Now, speaking about this guy named King Herod, he wanted the wise men to come back and tell him where exactly the new king was, so he, talking about King Herod, could go worship him too. What a bag full of lies that was, right? So tradition says that King Herod was not known for his friendliness. He suffered from immense paranoia, which led to killing many that he felt threatened by, including a wife of his and two sons. He gets Parent of the Year Award, right? Anyway, let's take a look at our main passage for today. This is talking about the refugee story. Starting in chapter 2 and in the book of Matthew, verses 13 through 15, this is what it says. So when they had gone, talking about the wise men, when they had gone, an angel of the Lord appeared to Joseph in a dream. "Get up," he said. "Take the child and his mother and escape to Egypt. Stay there until I tell you, for Herod is going to search for the child and do what?"
Kill him.
So he got up, took the child and his mother during the night, and they left for Egypt, where he stayed until the death of Herod. And so it was fulfilled what the Lord had said through the prophet, "Out of Egypt I called my son." So, wow, the devil, the dragon that from the Revelation passage that we opened with today, put the paranoia and the jealousy in the heart of King Herod. Let's continue on in Matthew chapter 2 and verse 16. It says, when Herod realized that he had been outwitted by the magi or the wise men, he was furious, and he gave orders to kill all the boys in Bethlehem and its vicinity who were 2 years old and under, in accordance with the time he had learned from the magi. Then what was said to the prophet Jeremiah was fulfilled. A voice is heard in Ramah, weeping and great mourning. Rachel weeping for her children and refusing to be comforted because they, the children, are no more. This in history is referred to as the massacre of the innocents. Thank God that he sent an angel in a dream to Joseph to get himself, to get his wife Mary, and the young Jesus out of Bethlehem and on their way to Egypt. The big idea this morning is we can't shake off the devil. He'll always come after you. Like I said before, he came after King Herod. He put the paranoia, he put the jealousy in the King Herod's heart. If he came after Jesus and caused his family to escape, guess what? He's going to come after us too. We need to escape. We need to be a refugee ourselves. We need to flee when the devil comes prowling. This morning, I want to talk to you guys about a false assumption. You know, some people think that when they give their lives to the Lord, that all will be good. You know, they're like, oh, yes, I want to be baptized. I want to give my life to God and live for Jesus. I don't have to worry about my problems anymore. Trouble, evil, temptation, sin, all the above is going to be gone. But my friends, that is false. In the book of Matthew, we see Jesus starting his own ministry. He was around 30 years old. And he wanted to be baptized himself by his cousin John in the Jordan River. Matthew 3, starting in verse 16, says, as soon as Jesus was baptized, he went up out of the water. And at that moment, heaven was opened, and he saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove and alighting on him. And a voice from heaven said, "This is my son, whom I love. With him I am well pleased." And the first verse of chapter 4 says, "Then Jesus was led by the Spirit into the wilderness to be what? Tempted by the devil." That's right. So you see, after baptism or being saved, the devil will come after you. We just saw where he came after Jesus through temptation. So if he came after the Son of God, he's going to come after us too. So as after accepting Jesus as our Lord and Savior, we need to simply stand firm. In your bulletins or on YouVersion Live this morning, the First Peter passage is actually wrong, but it's going to be right up here behind me. That's my bad. So sorry about that if you're following along in YouVersion Live or in your bulletin this morning. But 1 Peter chapter 5 and verses 8 and 9 say, "Be alert and of sober mind. Your enemy, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion, looking for someone to devour. Resist him." And what does it say? "Standing firm in the faith, because you know that the family of believers throughout the world is undergoing the same kind of sufferings," and I'll add that you are. Friends, we need to stand firm when the devil comes prowling. And after giving our lives to Jesus Christ through baptism and throughout the rest of our lives, we need to simply stand firm. But how can we be faithful and hold on to Jesus when the devil comes prowling? You know, the new year is approaching. It's just like 3 days away. 2020, a new decade, a new year is going to be here before we know it. For the rest of the days of this year and in this new year and this new decade to come, God does not promise us that we will be immune to the devil or Satan's efforts. He does promise us a way out, though. Let me read that again. God does not promise us that we will be immune to Satan's efforts. He does promise us a way out, though. 1 Corinthians 10 and verse 13, this is what Paul writes there. "No temptation has overtaken you except what is common to mankind. And God is faithful. He will not let you be tempted beyond what you can bear. But when you are tempted, he will also provide a way out so that you can endure it." Thinking about this verse and what Paul writes there to the church in Corinth, I think about Joseph. Now, not Mary and Joseph, but Joseph from the Old Testament, okay? From way back in the book of Genesis, we're going to be, if you want to go ahead and flip in your Bibles to Genesis 39, that's where we're going to be. But there was a, this Joseph is the Joseph who had older brothers, and the older brothers really didn't like him very much, so they sold him into slavery. They get Brother of the Year award, right? So long story short, Joseph finds himself being a servant in Egyptian royalty. And he's working with this guy named Potiphar, who was a higher up, like next to the Pharaoh. There was a certain situation with Joseph and with a woman. Now, she was the wife of Potiphar, who, like I said, was a royal there in Egypt. So let's take a look at this passage from Genesis 39. We're going to start with the latter part of verse 6. This is what it says. "Now, Joseph was well-built and handsome. And after a while, his master's wife took notice of Joseph and said, 'Come to bed with me.' But he refused. 'With me in charge,' he told her, 'my master does not concern himself with anything in the house. Everything he owns, he has entrusted to my care. No one is greater in this house than I am. My master has withheld nothing from me except for you, because you are his wife. How then can I do such a wicked thing and sin against God?' And though she spoke to Joseph day after day, he refused to go to bed with her or even be around her." Are there times in y'all's lives where, there's a situation between you and somebody else and you kind of try to avoid them and, you hide from them and things such as that? That's what Joseph was doing here, okay? But one day, verse 11 says, "One day He went to the house to attend to his duties, and none of the household servants were inside. She caught him by his cloak and said, "Come to bed with me." But he left his cloak in her hand, the Bible says, and he ran out of the house. He did not want anything to do with that woman. So, my friends, we need to run if you have to run like Joseph did. We need to escape if we need to escape like Jesus did as a baby. You know, this new year is coming up here in just a few days. It's going to be 2020. It's going to be a new decade. And there are ways to help us be a refugee from the devil. You know, looking back at that 1 Corinthians passage, the last part says, God will also provide a way out so that we can endure it. Let me tell you about four things this morning that God helps us with, things that he provides us with to help us fight off a prowling devil. The first thing this morning is we need to have quiet time. We need to have time in the Word of God every single day, if all possible. Psalm 46:10 says, God says, "Be still and know that I am God." That's all I'm going to read from that passage. We need to be still every single day and know that he is God. Have that quiet time. Matthew 6 and verse 33 there says, "But seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well." You know, I've been telling some folks, Jordan Clark and I had a discussion a few weeks ago even. You know, there's a lot of busy times. You know, we just went through a season of busy times. And sometimes they're like, man, we have, you know, have this to do, we have this to do. I know Aaron and myself, you know, we were scrambling to put all of our Christmas decorations up. Probably some of you guys saw our Christmas decorations via Facebook. It takes us a while, just the two of us. I got back problems. To put all that stuff up. And, you know, we got to go out shopping, got to wrap. She did most of the wrapping. You know, we host parties, Christmas parties. We hang out with family. We travel, like I was saying earlier. But, you know, the season is busy. I'm sure it is for a lot of you, too. But life is busy. But sometimes, you know, busyness, if you think about it, is a way of the world. And sometimes we just need to stop or be still, as the scripture said, and know that he is God. Okay? But when you stop and you have that stillness, the quiet time, and you dive into God's word, Jesus says, all things will be given to you as well. During our announcement video later on this morning, you're going to get more information, but you can also look inside your bulletins this morning. It's on the opposite side of the prayer list, and you can see some information about the Bible reading plan. Now, we as a church are doing this for the next couple of years. It starts Wednesday, January 1st. It's nothing big. We expect, you know, people who are doing this Bible reading plan starting January 1st, you know, to just do a couple chapters every single day. Now, maybe you don't start on Wednesday, but this is something you can jump on to, okay? But you'll get more information about the Bible reading plan in the announcement video later on. But read your Bibles. Have that quiet time. God says, be still and know that I am God. The second thing that we can do to escape the devil is simply pray. Simply pray. Philippians 4 and verse 6 says, "Do not be anxious about anything, but in every situation, by what? By what? Prayer. That's right. And petition with thanksgiving, present your requests to God." We need to simply present all of our requests to God. This too helps stop a prowling devil. Thirdly, we need to regularly attend church or be a part of a small group or a Bible study. Matthew 18:20 says, "For where two or three gather in my name, there am I with them." Hebrews 10 and verse 25 says, "Don't give up meeting together as some are in the habit of doing, but encourage one another daily and all the more as you see the day approaching." So simply, come to church. Make it a habit to regularly do so. Join a Bible study or a small group. We have some here at the church. You know, we have a couple of groups that meet at 9 o'clock right here at the church building before worship, 1 hour before worship. And I'm sure those groups would love to have you come be a part of their group for some Bible study. And also, starting January 8th on Wednesday night, we're going to have some groups that meet here for Bible study and fellowship and that sort of thing. That will start at 6:30. We had some back in the fall, and we took a break for Christmas. And now we're going to start that again on January 8th. And we have groups for all ages. So please come and be a part of one of these studies. And we also have studies or small groups that meet at other times throughout the week. And you can ask myself or another staff member or part of the leadership here at the church and get more information about these groups. But we have small groups. We have Bible studies that go on here at Christ Church. And so be a part of that and rarely make it a habit to come to church. And my friends, lastly, the last thing we need to do to fight off a prowling devil is we need to have accountability. Ecclesiastes chapter 4, verses 9 through 12 says, "Two are better than one, because they have a good return for their labor. If either of them falls down, one can help the other one up. But pity anyone who falls and has no one to help them up. Also, if two lie down together, they will keep warm. But how can one keep warm alone? Though one may be overpowered, two can defend themselves. A cord of three strands is not quickly broken." You know, with this passage, we hear it a lot at wedding ceremonies. But there's some good stuff and good information in there about when it comes to holding each other accountable. James, one of the brothers of Jesus, says in the book that bears his name in chapter 5 and verse 16, he says, "Therefore, confess your sins to each other and pray for each other so that you may be healed. The prayer of a righteous person is powerful and is effective." Simply, it's great to have a buddy, a friend, a Christian brother or sister. Am I right? Amen? Yes. You know, I tell youth group kids this all the time, but I'll tell you too. We need to have accountability. We need to have accountability. When the devil comes prowling, you know, be quick to call, to text, to visit someone that can help you, that can pray with you, that can distract you from falling into a temptation. You know, thinking about the last two points there, regularly attending church and having accountability, adults, students, kids, anyone in this room, when life is busy and all you care about are sports or work or school, and the list goes on and on and on, you are setting yourself up for failure. It's when you add points 3 and 4 into that mix, or really all 4 points, that's when you will be blessed. That's when your spiritual foundation will be strong. And when the devil comes prowling, he can easily be fall off. You know, in just a few days, there's an anniversary coming up of something that I try not to think about. January 1st of this year, you know, I woke up like any old day. Erin was still in the bed. She's a sleepyhead. I don't know. But I told her I was going to jump in the shower. You know, I had a headache for a few days. Got in the shower, and next thing I know, I'm waking up in a rescue truck outside of our house. I'm like, huh, this is weird. I remember turning the water on, and now I'm waking up here. But anyway, long story short, you know, I slipped in the shower, and a lot of bad things happened. I broke my shoulder, had to get a partial shoulder replacement, and it stunk too because I'm right-handed. So, you know, I'm still trying to work out all those kinks. I broke my back, and, you know, I like to forget about this, but I also broke a rib. It was terrible. It was terrible. But by going to the hospital and seeing doctors and nurses and therapists and even the help of my own family, I'm able to stand here before you this morning and I'm able to move my arm up like that. So praise God for that. Yes. You know, sometimes we all fall too. We may not fall like I fell that January 1st, but sometimes, sadly, the devil intervenes and we do fall into temptation. Like in my situation, there are hospitals, there are nurses, there are doctors, there are therapists, there are people out there to help you. And it's called simply reading your Bible. It's called praying. It's called regularly attending church or Bible studies or small groups. And it's called having accountability. We need to do these four things, and you'll find it easy to be a refugee of the devil. We need to grow closer to Jesus Christ this coming up year and during this decade to come, but we don't need to miss the truth. Having a relationship with Jesus doesn't exempt us from evil or trouble. A relationship with Jesus Christ helps endure the trouble. As we end this series today, what child is this? The child is simply Jesus. Jesus escaped the harm of Herod and ultimately the devil, and we should too. When you find yourself in the middle of darkness, Jesus, when you cling on to him, he will show you the light. Let's pray. Father, we just thank you so much for your son, Jesus. We thank you that you sent him to us. And we celebrated that during this time of year. But God, we just thank you for the life that he lived here on earth, for the ministry that he served, and for ultimately dying on a cross in our place, taking the weight of the sin of the world on his shoulders, and dying and being resurrected 3 days later, conquering death and bridging the gap between yourself and with us. So God and Father, we thank you so much for that. God, let us always remember what child is this, that it's your son. And the devil is very active and very alive, and he's going to do everything, as we remember from Revelation 12, to go after the ones who follow your son's commands. So let's try to do these four things, God, that I prayed about this morning, or that I shared this morning. Let's try to do these four things to stop the devil from prowling into our lives. God, we just thank you for this year, 2019, and just be with us as we do move forward into a new decade and a new year here in just a few days. God, we pray all this in your holy name. Amen.